Greetings. Good morning, everybody. Morena. Our first reading is from the prophet Malachi, chapter 4, beginning at the first verse. Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Kia mō tonu tāna kupu kia tātou. And our te rongapai tāpū, the Holy Gospel, is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, beginning at the fifth verse. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoe miti te karoria ki te atua. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolution, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life." Te rongapai tēnei ā te kāraiti. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe matitia ea te kupu mana.
Good morning. For those that haven't met me, I'm Penny, and it's a privilege to share again with you today, and greetings to those that are online too. As you can hear, I have a cold. I've been wearing a mask. I'm going to leave straight after this. It definitely isn't COVID. I've tested. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are here with us. Welcome. Holy Spirit, you are here with us. Welcome. Father, you are constantly with us. Welcome. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord Jesus. So are we in the end times? This is the question which has been exercising my brain as I've been thinking about these passages you know, the heart sinks. You think, oh, no, last time I had to talk about despair. Now I'm talking about end times, apocalypses. It's just, you know, why me? Anyway. And it's a tricky topic to talk about because there's a fine line, isn't there, between being dismissive and being weird. But as I've dwelt on these readings, it's become a bit less scary. And I want to share what I think we can learn, or some of the things we can learn from these passages. And we don't really talk much about the end times in church, do we? It's kind of something we really avoid because of the weirdness of it and the all the stuff that's been clipped around the apocalypse for a very long time. And I think we can all remember cults which have been preparing for the end. And usually it ends in tragedy. So, let me tell you what I've learned. The first thing is that the word apocalypse comes from the Greek. Comes from Greek. And it means the unveiling or revealing. As in, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, which John writes in the book of Revelation. And we call it that because of the Greek word apocalypse. And that surely will be the end of our time. And Jesus says a bit more about that in the Matthew 24 passage, which is the mirror passage to this one in that gospel. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. About that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And our reading today talks about a time which is before that, but it is still in the end time because it is in the day of the Lord. And we know this because of it, the prophet Joel said, and afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I'm guessing some of you have had some of those experiences. I have. So it refers to the time when the Messiah has come, and that is now. The Messiah has come. That's why we turn up to church every Sunday. So we live in the last days, and we are empowered by the Spirit, and we have the Spirit of God living in us because of the great sacrifice of Jesus, his only Son, our Savior. Thanks, Steve. That's very thoughtful of you. I should have done that myself. We need to read our gospel for today within that context. And because here is Jesus, you know, God with skin on. That's one of the ways you can think about Jesus. God with skin on. And he's talking to his disciples, those that were closest to him. And it's only two chapters before this, a few days in their time, in Luke 19, that we witness the triumphal entry with palms and shouts of praise and hosannas. And then we have all the stories about how the religious officials were trying to trip him up. Instead, they were falling on their faces. And just two chapters on, a few days away, in their time, is the crucifixion. So we're at this pivotal moment in Jesus' life. Within about a week of this story, his friends will witness the end of Jesus' life. They don't know this, but he's got an inkling. He knows that there is more of God's revealing about to happen. So we remember this context as we consider this passage again together. And our story begins, the gospel story begins, with some of the disciples commenting on the splendor of the temple and its beautiful stonework and its precious diadems and decorations. And I've got a picture of a model recreation based on the words of Josephus, I think, the writings of Josephus, in a couple of slides' time. But this temple was not the original temple built by Solomon. It was an extension of that temple, a bigger and better version built by our friend Herod the Great. You know, the man that we first met at the time of Jesus' birth, later beheaded John the Baptist. Not a very nice guy. And of course, it's also the same temple where Jesus had turned the tables on the merchants, who had turned it into a trading place instead of a place of prayer. And it was where he was brought for circumcision, as a little child. I've been thinking about what it would be like to see such a grand building for those men in those times. No doubt, the grandest building that any of them had ever seen. You know, might it be like standing in front of the Taj Mahal, or perhaps in front of the Golden Temple at Amritsar, or perhaps like visiting Notre Dame in Paris. And perhaps some of you remember the feeling in your gut as you saw the steeple of Notre Dame fall in that fateful fire of 2017. And the outpouring of grief of the people of Paris as they mourned its loss, as they mourned the loss of this marker of their identity. So here's the model of the reconstruction. It's pretty neat. And it would have been just as important to Jesus' disciples. I mean, it was a real deal. There was a lot you could get done at your local synagogue, but if you wanted to offer a sacrifice or have a blessing, you had to go to the temple. Just like Jesus and his parents did annually for the Passover. Remember we read that story about him staying on for a few days in Luke 2? And the temple's splendor was part of making it feel like the real deal. You know, and all of those gifted treasures in it and on it were a reflection of the dedication of those that had gifted them. But Jesus, when his disciples are commenting on this, seems frustrated in his response. And possibly it's his knowledge of knowing what happens next that caused this to be that way. Because he would have known that within the lifetime of all of those disciples, the temple would be no more. It was only about 40 years later, in AD 70, that it was completely destroyed by the Romans. And all that remains is the Wailing Wall to this day. Looks nice, but for what? A new way was coming, and Jesus needed his disciples to be tuned into that. Of course, they are shocked at his reply, and they say, well, when? How will we know? But Jesus replies in a roundabout way, just as sometimes God answers our prayers. Instead of giving specifics of time and place, Jesus replies with preparatory words. And he gives three warnings and five promises. So, start with warning number one. Do not be deceived or led astray. I have to tell you that historically Christians aren't really good at not being led astray. For example, many believed that Hitler had it right in World War II. And personally, I struggle to understand how many Christians support Trump. And those are just two examples. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus and not just shift our focus to anyone else. Only Jesus died to save us, and it's of us that the prophet Malachi wrote, the faithful, righteous followers of the living God, when he said, "But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall." Anybody been seeing any lambs doing some leaping around at the moment? Isn't that a wonderful image? That's what we're going to be like, you know, gay abandon. Warning number two, do not be terrified, panicked, or afraid. Well, there seems to be a lot to be terrified about, from mushroom clouds to natural disasters, wars, diseases, and persecutions. But Jesus says, don't be afraid. These times must come as part of God's plan. Warning number three, you are going to be persecuted. Some of you will die. But we're all going to die. Just a heads up. No one looks forward to persecution, do they? But I think that Jesus says this because it is his opportunity to prepare his friends so that when it happens, they don't feel so untethered and abandoned when it happens. By telling them it will happen, he also confirms that this also is part of God's will to achieve his ends. And that same will caused Jesus to sacrifice his only son and let him die cruelly on a cross. But wait, there's more. So let's look at those promises, eh? Promise number one. You will be the reason that everyone knows about Jesus, the Messiah. It is through our lives, including persecutions, that others will get to know the saving grace and love of God so that they can be brought to salvation. And I was thinking of Watchman Nee, the incredible missionary from China, and about how when the church faces trials, it grows faster than at any other time. We should so be encouraged by that. Promise number two. You don't have to prepare to defend Jesus. The sword of the Spirit will guide us, just as it did for Peter and John, a few chapters on from the story in Acts 4, verses 8 to 13. They said, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Peter and John had acted and were acting in knowledge and belief that they had gained from being close to Jesus, as well as from the power of the Spirit. We need to stay close to Jesus too, and to know the Spirit so that we can recognize and rely on his leading in every situation. Promise three, I will give you the right words and wisdom unmatched. Some of us are better at public speaking than others. Were my mother to be giving this talk, she would be shaking like a leaf, probably have left by now. But the scripture says that we don't need to worry, which is not to say that we shouldn't study scripture. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." The Word of God is the basis for our spiritual growth and transformation. It focuses our faith journey. Keep reading. Keep listening. Promise number four. Not a hair on your head will perish. Well, to be honest, I've lost a few. So I don't think this is literal. I think it's more like, who can remember the reading from Job that we had last week? I mean, I do, because I realized I read it, and then I thought, well, this has reference to this week. Job 19:25-27 says, "And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him. With my own eyes, I and not another, how my heart yearns within me." God has created us, and he knows us each perfectly and completely. God promises that we will stand as our perfect and complete selves before God at the end, even if we have lost a few hairs along the way. I'm sure he knows where they are, and he knows exactly who we are. He wants all of us. And our final promise: if you stand firm, you will win your souls. We need to build our lives on the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ, and stand firm in our faith. Rather than planning for the end times around the corner, doom scrolling, or going under because of fear, we need to do as Hebrews 12 says: let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Friends, these scriptures are about the end times. They talk about the revealing of God's kingdom, which we know is in us now, but not yet fully revealed to the world. So let us go forward remembering these three warnings and five promises: to stay true and not to be deceived, to remember that God's in charge and so not to be afraid, to know that even if we are persecuted, we are in God's care, and that we can take courage in his promises, that this is how Jesus' glory will be revealed to others, that he will give us the words we need at the right time so we don't need to prepare, that our victory will be of our souls and every part of our being. By his grace and his love, we will stand in glory at the end. And that truly is a hope worth living for.
Thank you, Penny. Let's stand for our next worship song.
Amazing grace, how sweet the Lord, we bless you, God, the God of creation. Through your goodness, we have gifts to share. Lord, we dedicate them to your service, to your kingdom. Amen. You may like to be seated, please. We will come now into the bodily part of our service where we break bread together to take communion at the Lord's table. That may the very presence of our gracious God be continuing as we go through the communion. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, Father, you are the source of life of all creation and made us in your own image. When we sinned and turned away, you sent your Son, Jesus, who became one of us, so that we might become one with you. Therefore, with the faithful who rest in him, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we praise your name, saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna. Glory be to you, Almighty God, because on the night before he died, your Son, Jesus Christ, took bread. And when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body given to you. Do this to remember me. After supper, he took the cup, and when he had given you thanks, he gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me. And therefore, loving Lord, Lord God, recalling now Christ's death and with the celebrating of his bursting from the tomb, we ask you to accept this our sacrifice of praise. By your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form in us into the likeness of Christ and strengthen us to be his body in the world. Look with favour on us, your people, and in your mercy hear our cry of our hearts. Bless the earth, heal the sick, let the oppressed go free. And fill your church with the power from on high.
Amen.
Unite in Christ with all who stand before you in earth and heaven. We worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing, honour and glory be yours, here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen. As we prepare to come boldly before God's throne, let us sing together the family prayer Jesus taught us.
Your will be done.
break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many, and we all share. Haere mai e te kahui a te atua. Haere mai ki te tepu a te karaite. Come, God's people, come and share in his love. Taken in this meal with Jesus, may you find the cross of Christ a sure ground of faith, the firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven, and the blessing of God our Creator remain with you this day and always. Amen. Thank you.
Well, whānau, do we have any reason to celebrate? Anyone had any birthdays? No. Oh, wedding anniversary? No. Okay. That sounds mysterious. It does, yeah. All right. So, we'll start with you. What's your name and what are you here to celebrate?
My name's Hazel and I'm here to celebrate the engagement of my daughter Kendall to Joseph. They got engaged.
No chocolate rings in there, but something to satisfy. And what's your name and what are you here to celebrate?
I'm Wes. It's my birthday 2 days ago.
Well done. And what's your name and what are you here to celebrate?
I'm Harold and I've just had a birthday during the week.
Well done, Harold. And what's your name and what are you here to celebrate?
My name is Keith and it's kind of weird being up here on my own, but it's my 23rd wedding anniversary.
Oh, you should take two.
I'll take one for fun.
Yeah, take one for fun. All right, ready. Toru, fa. What's that? Is that a ring or a rock or a... 23. Right. All right. Notices. Do we have any notices? Oh. Cool. We'll go with Suzanne first.
On Monday, the following Monday is the final Women's Fellowship for the year. Our theme is Good Things Come in Small Packages, and we're really delighted that Linda Mapplebeek is going to bring along one of her nativity paintings and talk to us about the story behind it, and then she's going to lead us to make a useful and fun craft. We'll have a festive afternoon tea, that means a Christmassy afternoon tea, and we'll also be collecting Christmas things for food share. And the other thing that would be really useful is if any of you have any old Christmas cards that you could let us have, preferably with the back on, we'd really appreciate that. It would help us towards our Christmas craft. Thank you.
Richard.
Good morning, everyone. So tomorrow is the men's group fellowship, 2:30 p.m. in the hall that way. And all men are welcome. If you're working and can... working from home or, you know, got flexi time or something, please come along too. And because we would like to see younger men. And we're going to have our very own in-the-house resident, Robert Brace, retired lawyer, going to speak to us about wills and powers of attorney. So that's a pretty important subject. So, so please come along and enjoy the fellowship and see you there if you can make it. Thanks.
Jenny.
Just a little reminder that we have our food share fundraiser concert on Friday night, the 28th, which is really under 2 weeks away now. Starts at 7 o'clock, so kind of Christian time, not 7:30, so make sure you're there nice and early at St Michael's, and it's going to be an eclectic mix of music, Brahms, Boogie and beyond, from within and without our own congregation. So really value your support and bring your koha for the food share.
And I've got a reminder from Penny about Evensong at St Michael's tonight at 7 p.m. And if you've all read your newsletter, you'll know that next week you'll be coming along in your wetsuits and togs because there's baptism afterwards. Well done. The service will be a little bit shorter, but yes, there'll be baptism. It's Hannah, isn't it? Hannah, yeah. Hannah Medlin. Cool. All right, let's stand for our final worship song. Thank you, Lord. Please join us for a cup of tea and a coffee in the hall afterwards. If you need God's love or comfort or healing, please come up to the front for prayer. There will be people who can pray with you. And thank you to the team who every Sunday puts helps out by doing a little job around to make this service work. And thanks in particular to Aidan and Eden. Well done. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord.